Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow mornings spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndyScrolls through December 31. And we're back with Dylan Hafer, Sweet Baby Dill, SBBD. How are we?
Still doing well.
Okay, so I thought something at the beginning of us recording, and it just came to me like a vision.
I'm scared.
I'm setting this up like it's going to be too big. It's like a big deal when it's really not. But I think a little bit about the lead up to the Salt Lake City finale and the importance
to
of
the,
it.
Reality of Aunties?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the importance of it obviously being perfectly edited, directed, performed, you know, a television drama shocker for the ages. And it was just done perfectly. And a part of that, you know, taking into account, I would still think the episode was great, was the fact that we did not know the surprise. And even though someone who like hated somebody spoiled it on social the week of the finale, we really, really didn't know the heart of it because it felt like the cast understood and did their job, which is unlike on, you know, Beverly Hills and some other franchises where people use blogs and whatever else to drop attention or get revenge or whatever else where you have more information. This we didn't. And I love that.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself with New Jersey, I don't know a single fucking person who was talking about Jackie, let alone thinking that this reveal was going to be explained on the finale, that we would really get an answer here. I never thought there was no question in my mind about Jackie potentially meeting with Louie's ex, let alone at her house, let alone finding out that that was real. And I thought to myself, on a show like New Jersey, where we can't really say that these people do a great job of hiding secrets, like
yes.
the worst part of them is that they sort of expose more than is on the show. Mm-hmm. Why didn't we find that out before the finale? I'm so glad that we didn't.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking to myself, I wonder if the reason, and we were literally talking about, I was probably speaking out loud while I was like thinking this in my head when we were recording part one.
Sure.
But I wonder if a part of the reason that we didn't find out, aside from the fact that like people in the cast knew their job, was because knowing that Jackie was the person that met with Louie's ex would hurt Louie and Teresa's narrative that Marge is ultimately bad boy number one. Like, mm-hmm. to me, there's almost an understanding and explanation why people did act professionally and not exposing it, because it hurt their narrative.
Yeah, I think the Salt Lake finale is a really interesting comparison that I hadn't thought about until right now. But I think part of what made that finale so striking in a way was, I mean, obviously we didn't have all the information ahead of time. So that is, you know, any kind of reveal is much appreciated.
And a miracle.
Yes. But I think the way that, for the most part, people had really enjoyed Monica that season, and she was getting kind of this great first season housewife. But then at the same time, we knew that the rest of the cast in real time was like absolutely not fucking with her. The way that there was like no interaction with them at BravoCon, the way that it was like clear that they were being kept separate, the way that all these women were like, you know, Monica seemed like this, but she's not. Like, basically, we were seeing one thing on the show, but then sort of almost being teased that there is going to be a reason, but we didn't know what that reason was going to be. I think the thing with Jersey this season is that, like, as Danielle says in the finale, like, Jackie just wasn't on anybody's radar. Like, she didn't feel like a factor in this season the same way that Monica did on Salt Lake last season. And I think the other thing with Salt Lake is that after Monica hobbled away from the table, all of the women came together and they sort of bonded over that they had been, you know, fucked over by this evil woman. Whereas on Jersey, in theory, Jackie being outed to be not just like a, you know, bad friend to Margaret and, you know, a liar, a traitor to Teresa, and, you know, dishonest about the foundation of their friendship. If Teresa had said, now I can't be friends with Jackie, get out, you've pissed in the pool here and now we can't swim. If the rest of the Jersey cast was able to kind of have that Salt Lake moment where they were, you know, huddling together under Meredith's scarf because it was so windy. Mm-hmm. But because the rest of the cast was so broken, and because Teresa, frankly, like, you know, is morally bankrupt, like, it just didn't land that way. That it was like Jackie hobbled off, but like, there wasn't that kind of satisfaction of like, yeah, we like rooted out the bad person and now we can move forward as a stronger group. And so, I mean, I really enjoyed the Jersey finale. It gave us a lot to look at and talk about, but it was like, I don't know, the complete lack of giving a shit on Teresa's part was just like so strange and wild. But you're right that it, like, at the end of the day, she just hates Margaret, and acting mad at Jackie would have not allowed her to hate Margaret as much.
Because you think of the ways that, you know, Teresa and Jen seemingly conspired with content creators and what they call bloggers, which is essentially like, yes, Instagram accounts and whomever else, which is not, in fact.
Yeah, I love that the word blogger has persisted until 2024. And it's like, none of these people are bloggers.
Right. They quite literally are not. Or maybe they have a blog associated with their Instagram account, but that's not something that I don't think Teresa would even be aware of.
Blogging.
Right. So there's that.
Maybe they have a Substack.
But it's interesting that nothing about this was leaked to them. There were no content creators who probably knew about this who were saying anything. And I think it's because it really invalidated parts of Teresa's argument because a part of her argument appeared to be about the timeline. It's about Marge being bad, but it was backed up by the timeline. Her receipts were all about a timeline around 2021 and the Warrior video and Jackie's work at worst invalidated it and at best put a little bit of a crack in that foundation and her not understanding. It's like blood is thicker than water, like hate is stronger than comprehension. Her refusing to understand and maybe not being able to understand, I don't know, the fact that Jackie may have done the thing that you've told us over and over is the worst part of this is fascinating.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, going back to the prior week when Teresa had arranged the, you know, meeting with Jim Leonard and, you know, 2/3 of the cast and like the way that that was hyped up and described and explained as like, we have the facts, we're going to present you with the proof. And then there's going to be no way that you can possibly not know and agree that Margaret is, you know, the devil incarnate. We never saw receipts or proof or anything. And like the fact that that all boiled down to Teresa being like, so you know the thing I've been telling you? I was right. Like it's so strange to me that, I mean, I've talked about this on my podcast that it's like Teresa basically crafted her whole season around waiting to drop this bomb about Margaret. And then the bomb was just like, I was right. And it's like, okay, yeah, like you've always thought you were right and you've never indicated that you are going to admit otherwise. So like you saying it again with like more force doesn't actually like hold any weight. And it doesn't, it's not like a grand reveal for the audience or really for the rest of the women in the cast. Like they all leave that thing at her house being like, okay, like cool. So it's strange that like not only is Teresa not seemingly not understanding or caring when the Jackie reveal happens, but she also just like doesn't seem to be like evaluating whatever this evidence is in a way that other people are going to understand either. That it's like, it doesn't seem like you had a bomb or else you would have dropped it.
The other part of this that is interesting, and it was referenced in a Satchel of Gold on a Satchel of Gold, Satchel Spectacular on the Patreon now, is someone talking about the rumors that this season would expose Margaret for being the person who created the gossip about Evan cheating on Jackie. Mm. And that was a thing that had people in a tizzy of like, that's the reveal that we're going to get. And I just wonder where that hot goss originated, because we didn't get even a smidge of it, but people were convinced that that is part of how Marge gets exposed. And I don't remember it even really being referenced.
Right. The only time that storyline came up was when Jackie was explaining why she met with the ex when Teresa and her were enemies, which like on the face of it, given how these women get down in the mud with each other, it's like, okay, yeah, like it's not shocking to me that you like accepted a DM request from somebody who hated Teresa in 2021. Like, I don't think that that's necessarily like some, you know, punishable offense that you should be sent to like housewives jail for. But it just is like, it is strange that this Jackie and Evan rumor, it feels like, you know, that's what, 4 seasons ago now. Mm. And it feels like it has always like the origins of this rumor and the exact mechanics of who started it or who heard it or who, you know, was talking to who, and Serena from Tenafly and ex-best friend Laura and, you know, whoever the fuck is in the background. We've never actually like, there's never been any big reveal or piece of evidence, or it just kind of feels like if there was a there, we would have heard about it by now. And so it is kind of funny that it's like with Jersey, there's just like always some weird thing that's like threatening to be exposed. And then it's like, just expose it. If there's something that we need to know, we would know. And knowing that people in this cast, like Jennifer and Teresa and Margaret and all of them, it's like, they're not like shy about making somebody else look bad or saying something that they heard. So it just feels like at this point, I'm kind of overhearing about that, because it's like, if there was some big bombshell waiting to be dropped, like I said, Teresa would have dropped it by now, or somebody else would have for her. So it's like, I don't know. It feels like there's something not being said, but at the same time, it's like, I don't believe that any of these people would actually hold something close to the vest.
What's your reaction to the hate in the Bravo universe toward Marge?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that obviously there's just a certain level of polarization with this franchise, especially over the last few seasons, where it's like, you know, you're either team Teresa and Jennifer or your team Margaret and Melissa, and there's really like no room for nuance for some people in that dynamic. And so I think Margaret is a polarizing housewife, just the way she handles things, just kind of her, you know, she is a collector of receipts. I talked about this. I had Ben from Watch What Crappens on my podcast earlier this week, and we talked about how it's like every housewife kind of has some sort of arsenal or vault or whatever. There's just people who use it differently and people who are, you know, care more about it. And you know, Margaret is somebody who, she's a smart person who also likes to throw a bomb every now and then. So it's, she kind of, you know, she is, some people don't like that. And I think that for Margaret, it's like, if she's not your cup of tea, that's fine. But also, like, if you look at this season, I feel like a lot of the most interesting moments like originated from her. And so it is kind of like, I don't know, what show do you want to watch? Do you want to watch Teresa and Louie wearing their Namaste Bitches merch at home, like just talking about how everybody else sucks? Or do you want to watch like housewives mixing it up with each other? Because I think with Margaret, I don't know, I think she had a good season.
I think she had a difficult season. I think she supplied a lot of the iconic moments, the text from the Jackie of it all, and exposing that to Dolo, and Dolo being like, mm-hmm. I have a text message about my dog. Like, I think all of that was great. The bouquet was great. The reveal about Jackie was great. But I think she also struggled because it was hard for her to process the fact that Louie was still there. Mm-hmm. And that does not inspire a person to really be able to like live in the universe of housewives if you're starting the season with the bubble popped, where it's like, this is stuff has been done that's too intense, even for godforsaken below right. the barrel, you know, below the line jersey. And to come into the season in sort of disbelief or with a lot of anger that he is there, it didn't enable her to kind of exist in this universe, but also her universe was difficult. Jan had died. Then there were questions about Joe B's health. She was dealing with a lot. We don't see other parts of her life. I have no idea what her current relationship with her stepkids are like, but obviously her son does not want to be in the show. So that really makes a person hyper-focused, maybe more mm-hmm. so than ever, on the intricacies of this world itself. And I don't think that that helped her, but I also think, yeah, she did have a key role in these like housewife classic style yeah. acts of revenge.
I think that this season, I totally agree with all that about Marge. And I think, unfortunately, because of the way this season ended, like kind of without a proper ending, mm-hmm. like we didn't get the title cards at the end giving us updates. Like we never actually got a resolution of whether or not Joe B had prostate cancer, like those types of things where it's like normally a finale would be like, yes, this explosive last event, but then also like some little tie up loose end scenes, and those just like didn't really happen. But I think in that way this season was kind of tough for everyone, where it's like it felt like there was kind of this like engine of darkness kind of at the center of the season that was just like a little bit of a runaway train, and that because of that there were moments that were enjoyable and there were other kind of side conflicts that I think were interesting in spurts, but that we weren't really able to focus on anything else this season. And I think if anything, maybe that's kind of what makes this feel like an unsustainable situation, is that it's like, at the end of the day, I feel like I barely remember anything that happened on this season other than like, you know, Jen and Danielle fighting with each other and, you know, the Margaret reveal and stuff like that. But it's like, okay, 13, 14 episodes, I feel like I don't actually have like a lot of moments that I can pick out where I'm like, oh yeah, that was good, that was fun, whatever. It's like, okay, there's like, we never saw Danielle's dad, that's annoying. Like, there's just like, it feels like there's a lot of kind of stones left unturned in a way that's not super satisfying.
When you mentioned the Engine of Darkness, who's working on that engine? Who's in the engine room?
I think it's Louis. I think that I'm sure it was frustrating for Margaret still having him in the picture, but I think also just as a viewer, I mean, clearly there are people who, you know, can't see an issue with Louis if they try, but like, it just feels like knowing what we know or what we are alleged to know from the end of last season, it's like, are we really not going to take a closer look at that? Like, is there really going to be no kind of answers, no deeper examination, whether it's from, I think it's tough because it feels like something where if all of this stuff is true and he's really, you know, operating to try and like take these people down or ruin their lives or something, it feels like something just like sort of too icky to be on a show like this. But then at the same time, I think that maybe the rest of the women in the cast feel like their hands are tied a little bit, that it's like, if they try to expose him more or take him down or something like that, that he might retaliate or do something. Or, I mean, he literally said in the episode, like, he and Teresa are talking about how they want to, like, they want Margaret's son to suffer. Like, that's, they literally say that. And so I think it feels like sort of everybody's hands are tied in a way that is just a little frustrating, because it's like, we never really, after everything that came out at the reunion last year, we never really moved the ball forward on that storyline this season.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of their anniversary video. Their podcast has seemingly the full video episode on their YouTube, except they've since edited it because Page Six released.
He's like, "Wear the thong."
Louis talking about what a great job Teresa has done as a parent, and the fact that, you know, the kids are wonderful, and he would encourage them to dress in a way that more embraces their bodies or sexuality, which he has talked about around like wearing thongs on vacation in Greece. And so I wanted to see that actual moment. So I found it. I found the video, which you won't hear it on the episode more because the audio has been replaced, and you won't see it on the video because they've done a cut.
Yeah.
But I, you know, watched more of the episode because I just kind of wanted to get a sense of their energy. And two things. One, incredibly unimportant, but I could actually listen to Teresa talk for hours. There's something about her voice that I just find so soothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's not making sense, but I don't care because she's not like forming sentences. Apparently today, neither am I. We have something in common. Like, there's just something about her where her voice is so relaxing. And because she does seem to present to us that she lives in a place of love, 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 I'm like, oh, okay, she's like in a good mood, and I'm into it. But the way he was just kind of driving the train of, I don't even know if you can call it love bombing when you're married to the person, just extremely, extremely energetic expressions of her perfection and stardom and star power, where I could understand wanting a husband who is so emotionally connective and descriptive and communicative of how much he loves her fame and celebrity, and that she's an incredible famous person and celebrity. And she's so grounded and humble. She's like the most humble person that you'll ever meet. She's actually the most grounded person that you'll ever meet. And it's just kind of, it's interesting to watch them because I believe they genuinely love each other, and they're telling us they're having fun and they go on vacations a lot and they're able to co-parent beautifully and talk to each other's exes really well. And there's just something about it where I'm like, I just didn't see any of this in this season. So I don't know if that's because the season is constructed of stuff, or this is its own constructed work of art, because obviously, you know, you're recording a podcast together. Like, how much of their life is a performance, but, and how much of their life am I just assuming is a performance and is really their life?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because it feels like almost every episode I haven't gone back to look, but like there were a lot of scenes this season that are like Teresa and Louis have a conversation in the house. Like we spent a lot of time watching them in the house, like I said before, often wearing Namaste Bitches merch. I love, love the amount of time laughing. That they spent plugging the podcast that no longer exists. But that like very few of those conversations or of those moments felt like, oh, this is sweet. We're just watching the two lovers at home. Mm. They're just in the kitchen. They're cooking in the kitchen.
They're newlyweds.
Right. I feel like going back in time on Housewives, something that people have always enjoyed almost as like a counter to the toxicity and the drama is that, oh yeah, that like the women are going to fight and they're going to call each other bitches and they're whatever. But then it's like, oh, we're going to see like Teresa at home with the daughters and there's going to be some, you know, Nono's in the kitchen cooking octopus at 6 a.m. And like, obviously, Teresa's at a different place in her life where she doesn't have, you know, Melania saying something funny as a little kid and, you know, whatever. But like, it doesn't even feel like they're trying to sort of recreate that energy that it's like every time we're at home with them, it's my brother fucking did this, like can you believe it, my Margaret blah 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 blah. It feels like there's always this like cloud hanging over their time at home where it's like, oh, like actually if you guys are like so in love and so, you know, everything is peachy, like it would be nice to see a scene that's just kind of like hanging out. Maybe Teresa's like debriefing a little bit about something that happened. That's like a common thing we see on these shows where it's like, you know, Heather's filling in Terry on what this Katie girl did. Mm-hmm. But like, it just always feels like they're like, he's almost like coaching her to be like, you know, Margaret's the cause of all of this, blah, 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 blah. Like, it always feels like there's some kind of like tension there. And it's like, I just kind of want to see you guys hang out. I don't know.
I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other. And now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is a glow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin. Serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's deluxe kit. The one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that Blockbuster Hydrating Cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with JLo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try JLo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com.
Yeah. But also, like, the whole Jersey season was felt kind of tense this season. Even like when Dolores and Pauly, like, all of a sudden it felt like every conversation we saw with them was about his impending permanent divorce and how she feels about that. And it's like, oh, like, I, before it didn't even, like, it seemed like we were kind of led to believe that Dolores wasn't that concerned with it, which, like, I don't know. It just felt like almost there wasn't room on Jersey this season for just kind of the lighter stuff. And I think that it's really important of a good housewife season to have that balance.
Yeah. And the just like the tension with the Teresa Louis stuff. And when you're talking about the kids being there, and I'm just thinking to myself, Melania has obviously grown, but has Teresa. Mm-hmm. Like, and how much of, you know, we've seen Teresa's the situations that Teresa has been in, and obviously, you know, pleading guilty to a federal crime and going to camp and all of this, like, she's had a lot happen to her. And some of that, not that I would wish that to happen to someone, but some of that softened her in a way. And it was, yeah. And to see her, you know, repair relationships with her family was, you know, these other moments. Yeah. I just don't know how much of Teresa's behavior I can attribute to Louis, but I just instinctively feel like an awful lot that he's bringing out, yeah, the worst aspects of her, but we're all being led to believe that she's doing great. And it's hard for me to see these, like, I watched the video of their episode and they just seem so happy and I want her to be happy. Mm-hmm. I just, it's kind of confusing.
Well, I thought it was going back to when Teresa had the ladies over to hear from Jim Leonard.
Karen at example.com.
Jim saying that he has been with Teresa through all of these ups and downs, and that he's never seen her, even when he was dropping her off at prison at 3 a.m., he's never seen her, you know, as stressed out about something as this. He's never seen her as, you know, as tense and as, you know, worked up over something. And it's like, that's kind of strange that it's like that Teresa is like more mad, like more hyped up or amped up about being mad at Margaret than she was about going to serve a 10-month prison sentence. Like that doesn't seem normal. Like that doesn't seem rational. And I obviously, like, we're not always in control of our feelings and, you know, internal reactions to things, but it's like, it doesn't feel like Teresa is like able to handle and work through these situations of late in a way that is like healthy or productive, like for her. And it's one thing if Margaret had done all this stuff and she never wants to talk to her again, like, yeah, sure, you guys clearly aren't compatible as friends. But like at a certain point, then it's like, just walk away. And I feel like Teresa kind of can't. It feels like she's like on this hamster wheel almost that is like not serving her anymore, maybe.
But how much of that hamster wheel do you attribute to Louis? Do you think she would be able to walk away, or at least act like she's walked away?
I think that maybe part of that question is like, if Louis wasn't there, I don't know if we would have even gotten to this point, because all of this sort of revolves around Louis and the ex and the toxicity and the stuff. So it's like Margaret and Teresa, of course, had butted heads before Louis came into the picture, but like things hadn't gotten to this point of this kind of heightened level of, you know, toxicity before that. I mean, there had been a lot of toxicity on Jersey over many different things, but like it didn't feel like it was this kind of like, it didn't have this like weight to it necessarily between Teresa and Margaret. And so I think that Louis is undeniably a factor. I think that Teresa, of course, is like, you know, an adult woman who has her own agency. And I don't want to like, you know,
infantilize.
Yeah, I don't want to infantilize her or be like, you know, sweet baby tree, get her out of there, because like she makes her own choices. But like, it is hard to watch and not at least wonder, like, I've seen people, somebody on Twitter was like, oh, if she had just like stayed with the pool guy, where would we be right now? And it's like, you do kind of wonder.
Oh my God, that would have been incredible.
Yeah.
We don't know who the pool guy is. We don't know that he is a better man.
Oh, of course. It's
like, yes, that kind of,
that it's like if
just sweet, he's yes, like a sweet, that normal guy.
I think whether or not Teresa's behavior is attributable, you know, however much it is to Louis, I think there, you can watch Louis on the show or on a podcast or whatever and be like, don't love that. And so it's like whether or not Teresa is being like, you know, manipulated by him to do certain things, the energy is still there. The vibes are still there, and they're not great.
It's just to see, she's just so angry. Mm-hmm. He has her so angry. And she has herself so angry.
Right.
But it feels like her anger is absolutely connected to his. And I understand a wife wanting to support her husband, but the stakes right now with this are so absurdly high. And the way that he has decided this narrative is, I mean, he would still be in the legal situation that he was in with the ex, regardless of the ex infiltrating some aspect of Teresa's life, with it affecting cast members. But I just don't know if you're with someone who is so comfortable expressing emotions attached with revenge, what do you do with that once filming ends? I don't see him being a different person then. Maybe in a good way, some of the tension will be released. But I also think sometimes with that stuff, it's just an excuse to express certain levels of negativity and toxicity. Like, Marge is the perfect vessel for this. So what happens? Marge still exists in the universe, but what happens when you're no longer filming the show? Who becomes the enemy then?
Right. It's like, I can't decide whether, like, when cameras go away and nobody's ever going to force you to see Margaret, like, are they still talking about how Margaret is the root of all evil in that home? Because if so, that kind of makes me sad, because it's like, just let it go. Just move on. Just live your life. But at the same time, yeah. I'm like, if it's not Margaret, it's going to be somebody else. Louis's not going to be like, eh, well, you know, we'll see how it goes and you know, figure it out and we'll be fine. It's like, no, he's going to find somebody to blame for it.
And if you're paranoid and you have access at your disposal to find out things, why would we think he would stop doing that? If he worked with investigators to find out more information on Margaret, who's to say that he's not thinking to himself right now, oh, I'm so happy and the show's on pause and I'm sure I'm thrilled about that. But Marge is still going to come for my family. So I need to keep her on her toes. I need to figure out other ways to arm myself. I don't see that perspective changing. I don't think paranoia ends when production does.
Yeah. Thinking about it, just made me think about it. It's kind of crazy to me. I'm like, it's one thing if Teresa isn't going to be like pissed off at Jackie, but it's like, is Louis going to see that final scene or hear about it from Teresa and not be like calling up Bo Deedle to go check on the Goldschneider household? Like, is he really just going to be like, oh no, well, you know, she's friends with my wife now and like, I still hate Margaret and now I'm not worried about Jackie. Like,
so Jackie said that she, the day after that scene finale was filmed, because this is they had like a, even though they haven't done the after show this season, there was like a little after show after the finale on the Bravo's YouTube, that she said that there was a half hour long, she said that there was a half hour long call between herself, Louis, and Teresa. And that
sounds fun.
Sounds great. And that seemingly like they worked stuff out and he understood. And then Teresa hops on the after show, obviously filmed separately, and says, of course, like Jackie's dumb enough to have this woman at her house. But obviously Marge and Melissa were behind it and were there. And it's more than one ex. It's not just this one ex. And I'm just thinking to myself, OK, so we've adjusted our narrative here, but not the end result. We just have to change the facts to fit the figure. And the figure is Melissa for some odd reason, just because they hate each other, and Marge. Like, how did you think in your head it's both of these people's paranoias intersecting with each other and then growing stronger? I don't know that Louis told Teresa, well, obviously, we're still right. I'm still right, because Marge was still responsible for this meeting happening and then never mentioned it for several years and revealed it at the thing because she's trying to blame Jackie. But obviously she's the one to blame because she was the mastermind. I don't know that Teresa's coming up with that new reality on her own, but she might be.
Yeah, well, it's like any person who believes in a conspiracy theory that serves to blame something on someone or, you know, whatever. If they're presented with information that disproves the thing that they believe, they're not going to admit that they were wrong. They're going to say, oh, well, that wasn't the whole thing. So like maybe, they didn't do it in that way. But then actually, if you zoom out, it's an even bigger thing and somebody else is involved and it's this, that, and the other thing. And so you just have to know what to look for and all of this. And it really feels like with Teresa and by extension with Louis, like there's no, for whatever reason, they've latched on to Margaret as this root of all evil, and that there's literally like no piece of information or explanation they could be presented with that would get them to change their mind.
And that's the difference between Teresa and Jen, because Jen reacted to the scene. Jen doesn't like,
because it's like, you good girl, your friend she's fucked you over.
Jen react, and Dolo, I mean, Dolo's a different person, but like Jen reacted as you would expect a person to react. She might not like anybody on the other side of that table, but understands that this is new information that changes things. Like,
yes.
Jen might want to seek revenge against people, but I don't think of Jen as a conspiracy theorist. I think of her as like aggressive and reactive and genuinely sometimes like truly mean, but also someone who has the capability and the interest in learning things and having that change her perspective of what's going on. Like, you saw this person react, but if you give updated, valid information that counters a conspiracy theory and the The person is telling you, I did this thing. It's true. A conspiracy theorist is going to react to that potentially and say, okay, well, the truth is just another conspiracy. It's still not the truth of what happens because I know the truth. Like, my truth is the truth, and that's all the proof that I need. And it's tough to watch Teresa in that spot because we've actually seen that in her before. Mm-hmm. It's just the stakes have grown so hot and so toxic that it's not even a matter of her understanding. It's just a question of who's going to face the consequences because of this.
Right. I mean, it's oh, Melissa went behind my back to get on the show, except for this time it feels like somebody's trying to, you know, ruin your husband's life, and that person is it just must be Margaret. It just must be. And it's, I think, I don't know. I mean, since earlier this season when we found out that there was not going to be a reunion and then there was going to be, you know, some sort of reboot or refresh or whatever, like, everybody's every week been talking about, what do we do with Jersey? Who's going to stay? Who's going to go? Is everybody going to go? Is it going to be, you know, half and half or whatever? Like, I just, like, it's tough when people are like, well, Teresa is the show, Teresa is whatever. It's like, yeah, but like, how are you ever going to have, I just don't get how you could ever move forward with somebody who's in this place of like unwilling to be presented with any kind of information. Like, it feels like that is just kind of like, I don't know. It's not fun. It's not fun to watch. And it's sad because Teresa has given us so much. And I think people really cling to that where they're like, but she's iconic. And it's like, right. Nobody, I haven't heard anybody argue otherwise.
Well, because, there are people argue otherwise. But yeah.
But like, that her like overall Housewives career is iconic.
She should be on the Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
She
but
should.
It's like,
she deserves it.
But it's like, that is not a permanent thing. Like, somebody being an OG is not actually that relevant when you're talking about the real time situation and how a show is going to move forward and what a show is even going to be moving forward. That it's like, we need people that are going to play and get along and work and you know, exist on the same plane of reality.
Yeah, and I think Teresa's circumstances have changed, and it's not the fault of people who are saying they don't like this season to take responsibility for the fact that she has married this man who's just added a lot of negativity to the show. It's the response from some people is, how do we move forward with Louis there? And then the reaction from others is, well, you have to because she's iconic and she's the best. And I'm just thinking, well, her circumstances don't suggest that right now. Her mm-hmm. circumstances, to me, just my personal opinion, suggests that Margaret is going to be replaced. If Margaret is not in the show, she will be replaced by someone else who will have to become enemy number one. That could be because of a misunderstanding about what is needed on this show when it comes to conflict, or just general paranoia, or maybe mm-hmm. someone genuinely pissing her off. And I think, what's going to happen to that person that's different from what is alleged to have happened to Marge and her loved ones because Teresa got in a fight, or because someone, God forbid, doesn't like Teresa and her man? The circumstances are not going to change until this person is removed.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not asking for you're asking for the show to continue in the most literal way, which is, they're going to be, if Teresa's back and maybe it's all new people in Teresa, you're not changing the circumstances at all. You're just having new people who are going to fill roles, and you have a conspiracy theorist who's looking for an enemy, because there always has to be one.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be somebody to fight against. It just so happens that his way of fighting is not necessarily in line with entertainment. I don't think Louis is a great TV producer. And that is a benefit often to housewives when they think, I'm the most strategic, I'm the best, and they flop because it doesn't roll out as they thought it would, or for whatever reason, those, you know, television strategic narrative circumstances change. With Teresa and Louis, it's going to, if you want Teresa to stay, and I understand it, she brings Louis with her. If you want her to stay with Louis, then just have an understanding here, or just my hypothesis, because mm-hmm. we don't know what's going to happen. My hypothesis is that the circumstances will not change. This man has told us repeatedly who he is. He hasn't gotten punished for it, for all that we know.
Yeah.
In fact, he's gotten rewarded for it, because seemingly the door opened to show us more. I don't know.
Yeah, one thing that I a suggestion that I've seen some people putting forward is like you could do whatever with the New Jersey cast, like get rid of a few, full reboot, whatever, and like then as a like basically get rid of Teresa on Housewives, but then like
spin-off.
Give her a spinoff. And I'm like, at this point in time, what would that look like? And what do people actually want to see in a theoretical Teresa spinoff? Because, like, yeah, I'm sure you would have some, like, fun, like, daughter storylines and Adriana's at dance and whatever. But it's like, would we see Louis and Teresa, like, pretending to be super happy all the time? Or maybe not pretending. I don't want to say they're, like, not happy. But, like...
Is that fun?
Are we seeing them still talk about Margaret and then Margaret's just not on the show because it's not Housewives? Like, what would the point be of that show? And the point can be as simple as like, oh, it's just like a fun family dynamic, but like, is that what we would get? I don't feel confident about that. Also, like, they're really going to make a show where Teresa's not arguing with anybody? Like, that doesn't seem... I don't know. It's just, I can't. I just like.
What did you think of Gia being there for that scene with Karen at example.com?
I thought it was a little strange. I think Gia, like, obviously she is an adult, you know, three out of the four daughters are adults now, technically. It just is like a little bit like, we don't need you to like hostess this event, like to like greet people at the door and bring them in. Like, it feels a little bit like it frustrates me to see Gia and to a lesser extent, Gabriella and Melania kind of like being added to the fold of like the kind of going along with what their mom and Louis have going on. Cause it just is like, I just want them to like go live their lives.
Well, and also they paid a price for their parents' crimes by being too aware of what was going on and being forced to grow up too soon. And I just would wish that since there has been some resolution with time, obviously Juicy Joe can't come back to the country, but just their parents are no longer in prison. There are, you know, things relating to his potential immigration status that maybe will never be resolved mm-hmm. in the way that they would want it to. But they also have more ability to be more independent and maybe return to being kids. Like they just had to deal when you have to grow up and grow up really quickly because you have to be responsible for yourself, or maybe in Gia's position, responsible for your siblings. And that's the result of trauma. And people, you know, are trying to be nice and say you've grown up so much. I just wish that when it came to some of this other stuff, that the kids weren't brought in as much to be in their mother or stepfather's confidences. But also that's also me thinking of them still as kids. They'll always be Teresa's children, but also they've grown up. If Gia's in her early 20s, she's in a different position than she was in when she was forced to grow up too young. And that is, I think that's potentially a complicated kind of dynamic.
Yeah, I would. I mean, we likely will never get this type of information, but like, I would be so curious to know what each of those daughters really, like, really deep down thinks about their mom and Louis, because it just is like, obviously you want, like, as somebody who, like, my parents got divorced and are both, you know, in other relationships now. And it's like, you want your parents to move on and be happy and find a situation that, you know, fulfills them and brings them happiness and a companion and whatever. And like, I just so wonder, like, does Gia look at her mom and be like, yeah, she found it. And we hear them say that, like, you know, on the show, it's like they're like, oh, we're so happy and blah, 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 blah. But like, I don't know. It's tough. And I don't want to, like, you know, whatever.
If speculate on that.
Yeah. Like, if they say they're happy for their mom, then
we want them to be happy.
Yeah. So it's like, I hope that it is, you know, great behind the scenes, but it's just like, you really have to wonder, because it just feels like there's so much tension in that house that it's like, okay, sounds fun.
I mean, Gia was crying in the scene with Jim James Leonard, and I really felt for her. I have enormous compassion for those kids. Mm-hmm. And I also just think of, you know, when it was like peak Teresa v. Melissa, and Teresa was saying things in front of her young daughters and they were making fun of their aunt. Like, maybe just a part of that is just the dynamics of, like,
yeah,
there's always, it's not. Louis came here and added an interesting quote unquote element, but there's other stuff here that's been happening with these kids being told stuff about family members who their mom is currently on the outs with. And maybe that's just like, yeah, the dynamic in certain families where you're gonna talk shit to your 7 year old about that 7 year old's aunt or uncle and maybe not care if that 7 year old develops a distaste for aunt or uncle, or maybe that's the point. I don't know. Like, that's, it's so, I don't have kids. It's so outside of my universe. I can't even tell you, but there is a pattern here of talking to your kids. And again, on camera, well, I'm coming up with a lot of excuses for Teresa. Mm-hmm. On camera, like, maybe you just feel like this is what you're supposed to be doing. Juicy Joe certainly helped a lot of that along. I don't know. And then we didn't get that scene that was hyped in the trailer.
Like yelling at each other in the driveway.
Well, Louis saying, or the producer, seemingly a producer, a member of production, talking to Teresa in their like outdoor area where someone is saying it's going to be okay. And her response is it's not going to be okay. And then him walking off. I don't know what that was about. And we're not going to ever get any resolution of it.
Yeah, it does feel like this season. I mean, obviously they had to rethink a little bit toward the end with the house burning down in the Berkshires and no Trip and then things ending badly. But it does feel like this season is just like, it feels like it's a little patchy. Like we're missing some blanks that weren't really filled in and some things that maybe they wanted to do and didn't have time for, or either maybe they filmed and then just like when they were in the edit, they were kind of like, what's the point? Like, I don't know. It does feel like, I don't want to say, you know, from like a production editing standpoint, I'm sure they did as much as they could because this group is not an easy one to work with on a season like this, but it does feel like we're not really like getting the full picture this season in a way that's frustrating.
Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andyscrolls today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, help.com/andyscrolls. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
Well, and the irony, as Andy said, just wait until you see the finale, because then it will all make sense why we didn't get a reunion. And I'm just seeing the finale thinking, no, I think we actually maybe needed a terrible reunion, but an opportunity for someone. But again, if you're a conspiracy theorist to say like Jackie did bad, if what you're saying is bad, then Jackie did it.
Yeah.
Can we talk that through a little bit?
Can we talk about the double standard there? I think I feel like after watching the finale, I feel less like, oh, obviously they couldn't have done a reunion, and more like, oh, obviously the network just decided that they were ready to go in a different direction with this franchise, and that it's like almost like they just didn't want to, I don't know, like pay for a reunion. like that it's almost like they saw the finale cut come in and we're like, yeah, I think we're good, I think we're done with this, versus like, I think they could have had a reunion. I don't know if it would have been, you know, if we would have made progress, but it's almost like they didn't care if we would have made progress because they already had decided that this was done.
Well, it felt like they were mixing we can't have a reunion with we can't continue filming the show with this cast, and I think the latter is certainly true. You cannot continue filming the show with this cast like next season. Mm-hmm. But this season, I just want to have, there are questions that aren't going to get resolved. And then we have the video show coming up, seemingly a two-parter, except maybe it's one, where the cast is going to sit in rooms and fight with each other about what it is that we're watching with nobody to referee except Dolo.
Yeah, we haven't gotten like a preview for that or anything, right?
I saw, and I usually never watch previews for anything because I don't want to be spoiled. But at this point, I don't give a fuck. So
what's
watched
to spoil. Yeah,
right. Literally. Oh my god, the TV. There's a literal TV in the room. Oh my god, there's a fork. So I watched part of a preview, but then I just was like, I need to tap out. And it was Danielle and Jen Fessler arguing because I guess Fessler arrived. Mm-hmm. Like they're all seated at the table ready to film, and Fessler walks in the door, and Danielle, by her expression, seemingly Fessler was very late. And so Danielle and Fessler get into an argument, and Fessler's essentially like, why do I need to be in a room with these snakes, I could just go to the room with the other snakes because at least they're like nicer to me. And then she has some little tiff with Rachel Fuda. And then I was just like, okay, so now this becomes a Fessler thing.
It's like a reunion within a non-reunion within a something.
But if we know that none of these people are going to be in the full same room again, why do I give a shit if Fessler's arguing with Danielle? Fessler didn't even stay for the end of the finale, which, P.S., what did you think about that?
I thought it was really strange. I just think, I mean, from a pure, like, strategic standpoint of being on a TV show and theoretically wanting to stay on a TV show that you're currently not a full-time cast member on, it seems like a really strange decision to just, like, bail on. I don't know if they knew that that was going to be, like, the last moment of the season, but, like, it's clearly a climactic thing. That was strange to me. I mean, if she felt like for her, you know, if she felt like, oh, I'm going to have like a literal panic attack, I can't be in this room anymore, I understand that. And I, you know, people should do what they need to do to, like, you know, prioritize their well-being. But it did just feel a little bit like you kind of just like deleted yourself from the narrative at the very end of the season.
Well, I think she, I mean, her argument would be, I didn't want to be associated with this. It just got so, it was so toxic and bleak. I don't want to be witness to it. I don't want to be associated with it.
Yeah. And I think if that's the case, then it's kind of like, okay, then you probably shouldn't be on the show anymore. And like, she did press for the season and she, you know, has been to events and stuff. And so it's like, it is kind of like, if you, you know, if you can't take the heat, then it's a little bit like, not that I wouldn't want it. Like, I don't want to be on Real Housewives of New Jersey. I think that's valid. But it is a little bit like, okay, well, like, this is what we're doing right now, as shitty as it is. So, like,
I haven't listened to her podcast with Jackie, but I would assume, I don't even know. It's two J's
Jersey J's.
Whatever. Did they talk about the show? I don't even know what it's about.
Oh, God, I don't know. I haven't even thought about the fact that Jackie is, like, theoretically podcasting through this.
I mean, she's theoretically still existing, and that feels like a fascinating journey, because she just, I just can't get over what she allowed to happen because she didn't want to face any of the fire here. So it looks like, according to Spotify, oh, okay, so their episodes maybe come out every couple weeks. So no, and that's not me. That's not being sassy.
No,
I'm not being sassy. I'm just saying the drop schedule.
When was the most recent one?
August 2nd, and before that, July 11th, and before that, June 21st, and before that, May 31st, and before that, May 9th, and then May 5th. So
they're a little, it's a little irregular.
It's a little irregular. So I don't know.
Conveniently, August 2nd was like 2 days before the finale aired. So it might be a while before they have another episode.
I don't know how Jackie spins this. I guess, yeah, it's not necessary by people who don't want to accept that it happened or that it's really that bad, or what other people had to deal with because she didn't want to say the truth.
I think if I were Jackie, Jackie, I think her talking point can be, well, if Teresa isn't mad at me, then why should you be? Why does it concern you more than it concerns Teresa? And I think, you know, maybe she is benefiting from the fact that she made friends with a dummy who, like, can't or won't or doesn't want to, like, actually, you know, normalize changing her mind when presented with new information. But, like, is that a flex? Is that a flex that you're like, I still get to be friends with Teresa, la, 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 la. It's like, okay, go have fun. Go have fun with the person who talked on the show this season about how she was using you.
I hope none of her family members ever open their phone at work. Like, I really genuinely, lucky for Jackie, someone else had to take the fall, and the fall was like as fucking bleak and toxic as it was. How fortunate for Jackie that Teresa and Louis still believe that Marge is ultimately the one responsible for Jackie meeting with Louis's ex. How fortunate that she can post on Instagram stories onward and upward, because she has nowhere to go but up because her name isn't Marge. So how great for her. How great for her.
Yeah, she still gets to, like, go to dinner with Teresa and Louis.
She
and like
wins.
That's
That's the prize.
Life goal.
No, but like that's the prize. She gets to be friends with people who do not care what she does because someone else is to blame. That's what you want to work toward. That's who you want to have in your inner circle. People who you know are capable of doing things to protect themselves and their families by dragging other people's families into the fire. And good for Jackie, because actually she's sort of untouchable. If she can't get in trouble for this, I don't know how anyone could be mad at her unless she says a bad word about Teresa or Louis ever again. And it seems like she has really been able to position herself in a way that negates any past critique she's ever had and reveals every bad truth a person would ever think about Melissa and Marge. Good for her, someone who seemingly started the show thinking that like basic comprehension was a benefit and morality meant something. Good for her to see how either the show changed her or to see who the real Jackie actually is. I don't know.
Okay.
My guess is she's probably not going to be back in the cloth filming a video for Instagram where we make a joke of her touching my beautiful dresses and shoes. The likelihood is she's probably spiritually unavailable. I would love to do a follow-up with her.
Okay. So
I really genuinely would.
Question for you.
Yeah.
If tomorrow or at some point in the near future,
ring ring ring,
we get if we get you know, Kate Arthur and Variety with a
shout out Kate, we
love, with a report that's like, this is what's happening with New Jersey, nobody,
that house in the Berkshires is still burning.
Nobody's
what's the sign gonna be that the show is a fucking mess?
If New Jersey Next Gen includes neither Teresa nor Jackie, how long do you give it before Teresa stops responding to Jackie's texts?
Oh, I think they'll always be. There's no reason. I don't think Teresa's friends with Jackie because of the show. Mm. If I was Teresa, Jackie would be a great person to be friends with. I know this person doesn't give a shit about any rumors or speculation about my husband. And in fact, knowing that that is what the word on the street is, that this person still wants to hang out with me and go on double dates with me and my husband, I would be friends with her for the rest of my fucking life. Because I know that this person doesn't give a shit about any of the rumors or speculation. She's a great soldier.
Yeah, but if you're not on the show, do you need a soldier?
I think she probably doesn't.
Maybe in her head she does.
But I also think, I don't know, in their real life, I think they probably have fabulous double dates. I think there's probably a lot of fun to be had. And I don't, no, I'm not being an asshole at this moment. I mean, an asshole at all the other moments.
They're eating at Avra in Midtown.
They're
getting an Uber Black into the city.
That is Ramona Singer's HQ. Like, they go to Avra, they spend $9,000 on, like, I don't know, the free ice water. Just kidding. They're drinking like Perrier.
San Pellegrino.
They're drinking Pellegrino.
Saratoga Springs.
Absolutely. So that is, I think that they will still be friends with each other because why the fuck not? They have this common denominator. They'll be able to gossip about the show and they can be friends with each other. I really genuinely don't begrudge them for that. I want people to have friends. I also just think, like, who's suffering the consequences because you guys have, you know, decided that you're besties. Maybe nobody ever will again. Maybe they can just continue to be friends. It's just the question from people was, how was this friendship formed? Who needed to be shat on in order to form it? But people have bonded over less.
It was formed in hell. Yeah, no, I it's just
this is my delayed reaction.
I don't know. I mean,
poor, I don't say poor Jackie at all. She's doing probably better than she expected at this point.
That's the thing. It's like she
guessed right.
She made her bed and now she's convinced herself that it's the comfiest bed anybody's ever had. And
isn't it the comfiest bed anybody's ever had? How could you tell your friend who was your enemy that you met with your friend's persecuted husband and have that person not even roll their eyes at you, but be like, it's fine. This is, Sarah, of course, the bed is like $1,000.
The comfiest bed.
Or however you pronounce it, linen.
The comfiest bed would be running away from all of these people and never thinking about them again. The comfiest bed is like, you're free. You get to live your life. I don't think that's what Jackie has convinced herself she wants.
Not if you're Jackie, who was publicly demoted and then was praised by Andy for taking it like a champ, but has right. been desperate
like
to be
sniffing
back
around for an opportunity.
And is losing her shit when she's not tagged in Instagram photos, or losing her shit when she's not asked to a party, aka to film. So she gets the big kahuna. This is the best case scenario for someone who wants to continue to have attention. And this is who Jackie is, and God bless her for it.
I hope she's comfortable in that bed.
Well, her book didn't hit, but maybe her friendship with Teresa will be number one.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, Dylan Hafer.
Love.
Wait, can I ask you just a really simple, basic question before we leave?
Of course.
So for this 15-part, 9-hour episode, just a regular day in AG. Mm-hmm. Who do you want to be back?
I have kind of settled on, for now, that I think I don't think that a full reboot is something that is a good proposition. I don't think that Jersey has the talent pool to really support that. And I don't. The state of New Jersey. I think, and I have gotten the sense from conversations that I've had that, you know, this franchise has been around for a long time. They've cast a lot of seasons, and that they've kind of talked to everyone, and that it's like, if you're somebody who is around the right age and around the right, you know, town and the right tax bracket, that you've probably been combed through. And so I don't have a lot of confidence that, you know, they're going to go find 7 women that we've never seen before that are going to be like a dynamite Housewives franchise. And so I think the way that I would probably proceed would be to get rid of both Teresa and Melissa, because I think you're never going to get rid of one and not the other and be able to like move forward with the viewers. Mm-hmm. So I think getting rid of them both just kind of like, it's like, okay, that's they're not on the show anymore. It's over. And then I think Jen is most likely not getting Jennifer Aiden, I think, is most likely just like not kind of an option to return because of the way it seems that she has been kind of dealt with this season because of the social media stuff and the bloggers, as you mentioned before. So I think like if you got rid of them, I mean, Jackie goes without saying she won't be back. I don't think. I think that could work. I think that could work.
So your remaining is Rachel, Danielle,
Margaret,
Dolores. 3 or 4 new people.
Yeah.
And Fessler.
Jen Fessler, maybe. Yeah. She could hang out.
Huh. Okay.
Okay.
I think the thing with casting previously that was difficult was you also had to cast around the current state of affairs, the current environment.
Sure.
You needed to see people who would vibe with, you know, person X, Y, or Z. So it might be easier and more beneficial to do a full fucking reset.
Yeah.
Where people are bringing in not just themselves, but a pair. Like, let's go back to maybe not family, but, you know, buckets of friends.
I think what makes me nervous is that, like, so New York is the one full reboot that they've done. And people have differing opinions about how well it worked last season, whether they're excited for next season, whatever. I think that with New York, there's like at least there's a lot of interesting different people. And like, I don't know, it feels like at least you can get like a good mix. What worries me is that if they go for a full reboot in New Jersey, I feel like it's going to be like 6 33-year-old mothers of babies that kind of give exactly the same vibe. Mm. That's what worries me. And obviously, like, that's an oversimplification. And I'm sure that they would work really hard on the casting and hopefully it would be more interesting than that. It just, I don't think that there's like a lot of evidence that would really, I don't know. Seeing in recent years until last season when they cast Rachel and Danielle and Jen Fessler, they had not had good success finding newbies on Jersey. There's like a people who weren't even given full friend of contracts when the season rolled around, that it's like, oh yeah, they were like maybe going to be housewives. You know, last week I went to that Diamonds and Rosé experience and it was interesting. So they there were a handful of Jersey women there. And I thought it was telling. It was like right before, it was the week before the finale was going to air. So it may, you know, they were sort of like there for that, but also just they were there.
Yeah.
And it was Dolores, Margaret, Rachel, Danielle, and who else was there?
Dolores again.
I'm like, God, I'm forgetting somebody.
Wasn't but, somebody from Orange County in New York?
No, yet? But, but so Teresa wasn't there. Jennifer wasn't there. I don't think Melissa was there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you know who was there?
Not me, because I didn't go, but I should have gone, but I couldn't have gone because of the heat. Yeah.
Yes. Kayla, who was on this season of New Jersey, Kayla Giovinazzo, she was one of those two girlies that was like Danielle's friend who was around a bunch. And it's interesting just like thinking about that there are these kind of like side characters that, you know, this season, I don't know if Kayla would be somebody that we want to see more on this show, but like, I don't think that this season would have been a good time to really make much of a splash anyway. Clearly, good things just like weren't happening this season on Jersey. So, I mean, I don't know. She seemed cute.
How tough to be introduced this season and then never seen ever again.
Kayla, remember they had like Kayla lower and thirds. Tiffany. Yeah.
And then we never saw, I think I saw one of them.
They were around a good chunk of the season. Like they were at most of the group events.
Oh my God, how terrible. You got completely cut out.
They never really got moments. I mean, going back a few seasons, we had Michelle, the realtor, who was
right, annoying.
being teased a little bit. Last season, there have been multiple women who I have like followed on Instagram because I think they're going to be Jersey Housewives and then they just like disappear. So
do you unfollow them then? Yeah.
Yeah, because then I'm like, I don't need to follow this like literal New Jersey housewife who has like 6,000 followers.
Oh my God.
Because she was like,
it could be me.
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. Tiki Barber's wife could come back.
You know what? Did we give them enough of a chance? I forget.
Tracy? I don't know.
I liked him.
Tiki?
Yeah, I think, right? Wasn't he fun, maybe? I
feel like he has like
such a non-starter. I feel
like he's like problematic off. For something.
Tiki?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, because he cheated on his ex-wife who was, I think she was pregnant at the time. I forget. Apologies. I don't remember.
Somebody don't Google Tiki Barber.
And then just don't tell me what happened because I don't care. I really don't care enough. But I cared an awful lot about this episode. Dylan Hafer, we recorded forever. I'm so thankful to you as always for doing a two-parter. You just had Emily on the pod. Tell us about who has been on Mention It All over at Betches HQ. What you got cooking? Where AGs can follow you on social?
Yeah, it's been a fun time. I'm really glad that OC is back. That has been just a pleasure to have in class. So Emily was on this week. It was really fun to chat with her. Like I said, I had Ben Mandelker from Watch What Crappens on earlier this week. Also just a really great hang when it comes to talking Bravo. But lots of stuff happening. I do usually 3 episodes a week. Anywhere you listen to Andy's Girls, Mention It All. And you can follow Bravo by Betches on Instagram.
And also you personally.
Yeah, at Dylan Hafer.
We love.
Fun times.
Speaking of fun times, there is a 2-part Satchel Spectacular out now. That's right. Featuring AG's thoughts and feels about all things New Jersey finale, future of RHONJ, some side conversation, all that and more. Available now at the AG Patreon. #1 way to support the pod at patreon.com/AndySkrulls. You can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley and DM me there. Send me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor for Holiness Kelly Clorne Ben Simone. Please include your first name and town, and they may be included in a upcoming Patreon app. SBBD, thank you as always.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Bye. And thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.